is a little different. Instead of the usual arrangement of Vivaldi's Winter Largo, this evening, under lamplight, we are opening with Georges Schmidt's version on Pan's Pipes, a track we first played on our Pan's Pipes episode back on April 8th, 2012. Why are we pulling out a track played on a past show like that? Because this is our century. It's the 100th episode of Evening Under Lamplight, and I thought the best way to celebrate would be to recall a few moments from previous shows, just to remind us of some of the things that have become part of the show's heritage. Because, and here's our program identification, you are listening to Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105, community radio in your city, with your host Robert Louis Abrahamson inviting you to attend. You'll be able to find full versions of many of our previous episodes at momentsunderlamplight.com. We're going to play hooky a little and skip our usual Whitman reading and instead replay four bits, or maybe five, from earlier shows. First, because after all this is a kind of party, here are three party songs we attended to back on July 17th, 2011, as part of the weekend celebration of Cambridge 105's first anniversary. I like these three songs, and I also happen to like the way I discussed them. And I also like the way they feature that Philadelphia chauvinism that always lurks somewhere in the corner of Evening Under Lamplight. So let's drop in as RLA introduces the party theme to the Cambridge 105 birthday show. First, of course, there are parties. So let's start off with three songs about parties. The first is a 1962 hit by Claudine Clark called Party Lights. Although she was born in Macon, Georgia, Claudine was part of that migration north and grew up in Philadelphia, like so many of us. Party Lights was her only real success, a song she both wrote and produced herself. Her next song, Walking Through a Cemetery, not surprisingly did not catch the Walking Through a Cemetery. Well, we've got a cemetery just out the window here, but we don't walk through it in our Evening Under Lamplight. Well, not surprisingly, it didn't catch the public's favor, and her career slipped downhill. The song Party Lights sets up for us a little dramatic scene. It's an early song about the tension between the teenager who wants to go out to a party and the parent who says no. She can see the party lights across the street and can't sleep. Well, the point is that everybody in the crowd is there. Teen culture. If everybody is there, then she has to be there too. Everybody in the crowd is there, but you won't let me make the scene. There's a bit of hip slang there. And then we get a little catalogue as she lists the members of the crowd she can see going in. Oh, mama dear, oh, look here, oh, dear, there goes Mary Lou. I see Tommy and Joe, uh-oh, and Betty Sue. Why, uh-oh? A spicy bit of gossip about Joe and Betty Sue that she's going to miss? But even worse, uh-oh, there goes my boyfriend, too. We can laugh, but this really is teenage hell. And this being Philadelphia in the early 60s, home of American Bandstand, the main focus of attention is the dances they're doing. They're doing the twist, the fish, the mashed potatoes, too, and I'm here a-looking at you, she says to her mother. A great line. But there's more to attend to. Listen to Claudine Clark's voice. How can we describe it? It ranges from high wailing to a deep huskiness, almost a growl. Attend to these shifts in her voice. It's wonderful, and it's really grown on me as I've attended over and over while preparing the show.
See the
Well, I hope you love that song. Isn't it wonderful? And man, we're staying in Philadelphia and staying in 1962 for our next party song coming to us from the Sensations. It's another dramatic song. I mean, a song that depicts a little dramatic scene like Party Lights. It's about the anguish of a teenage girl who can't go to a party. But hey, that doesn't apply to you. You're already admitted to our Cambridge 105 birthday party just because you're listening in. But this girl is not prevented by her mother from making the scene. It's the girl who's having the party who won't let her in. She can see all the lovers on parade, their silhouettes dancing on the shade. She can hear the music, but even more tantalizing for a Philadelphian of that era, she can hear the dancing. Pitter-patter of the feet, moving and a-grooving with that beat, jumping and a-stumping on the floor. Maybe they were doing the Bristol stomp, sharp as a pistol. Let me in, open up, why don't you open up the door? There's not much more to the lyrics than this, except for a lot of wheel, wheel. There's something very touching, though, about her plea to get back in. And why has she been excluded? Our only clue comes from the two lines that are repeated near the beginning and near the end. Open up, she says, I want to come in again. I thought you were my friend. Here's what I think happened. She was at the party of her good friend and began dancing with her hostess's boyfriend, just having fun, but maybe going a little too far. And the hostess sees this, grabs her friend by the chiffon sleeve, and drags her all the way out the door and slams it shut. Huh? What just happened? Open up! Let me in! This is high drama in its way, and like all the great stories, it presents the story only from one corner and invites us to imagine the central events. The singer is Yvonne Baker, and because this is a group, the Sensations, the backup harmonies are much more present than they had been in Party Lights. The snare drum keeps the beat, varying only once or twice in the whole song. And we're back in the days when every respectable rock and roll song had to have its sax riff. Attend to the way the song begins with her knocking hard at the door to get back in.
Come in again. I thought you were mine.
And both songs go out to all Philadelphians listening in, and especially Dal Steam Shovel. And, of course, to the great master, Jerry Blavitt, the geeter with the heater, the boss with the hot sauce. And this is RLA, who knows what to say on Cambridge 105, we don't give you no jive. And the show is called Evening Under Lamplight, Thank You. Well, we could take for our third song Leslie Gore's It's My Party and I'll Cry If I Want To, a kind of centerpiece to the sad party triptych. But in this song, the girl is at the party. In fact, it's her own birthday party at her house. But when we see her, she's sitting in the corner crying. Why? Because her Johnny has just gone out of the room with Judy. Why was he holding her hand when he's supposed to be mine? And a little later on, uh-oh, Judy comes back in with Johnny like a queen with her king. Oh, what a birthday surprise, Judy's wearing his ring. Yes, it's my party, and I'll cry if I want to. You would cry too, she says, turning to us, if it happened to you. Well, yes, I suppose I would. But no, let's skip this song. Leslie Gore, born Leslie Sue Goldstein, is from New York and Northern Jersey, and she wouldn't fit in the triptych with our two black Philadelphia singers. But I did promise you one more party song, and for that, we'll have to move ahead 20 years and across the country to L.A. for a Randy Newman song. His well-known song, Mama Told Me Not to Come, picks up where Party Lights left off, with Mama telling him not to go to the party, but here the guy, rather than a girl, goes to the party anyway. And it's the wildest party that could ever be. Mama said it ain't no way to have fun. Now, I don't mean to tantalize you, but let's not have this song, but another Randy Newman party song instead. There's a party at my house tonight. Everyone's invited, so there's no teen misery across the street or knocking at the door, but this certainly seems like the wildest party that ever could be. Randy Newman puts on not only his nasty persona here, but also something alarmingly perverse. Don't forget to bring that little blonde-haired girl along, he tells somebody. You know the one. Love to watch her jumping up and down. Seem like her face get all red and spotty like she been out too long in the sun. And that little blue vein right beneath her breast. Man, those nipples pink as a rosebud. Hey, Bobby, get the rope. What? What? And throughout the song, the piano repeats the hook from Mama Told Me Not to Come. Well, that's not quite the kind of parties we have here in the Guider Street studios of Cambridge 105. But then again, we're not L.A., where it seems only natural to produce a party and a song like this. It starts off like a simple rock and roll song, and later includes the obligatory sax, but then gets progressively wilder. Attend. Up and down.
like her face. Get all red and spotty, like she's been out too long in the sun. That little blue vein right beneath her breast. Man, those nipples pink as a rosebud. Hey, Bobby, get the rope.
Okay, that was Randy Newman. There's a party at my house. Famous last words. Well, that was our party triptych from July 2011, helping us celebrate the first century of Evening Under Lamplight. And what's next? You know that in the first two series of Evening Under Lamplight, we set ourselves the constraint that every show had to feature at least one song by the Kinks and one by Dylan, and one reading from Robert Louis Stevenson. So here's one of our Kinks sessions, in fact a double session, helping along the party theme with two songs about dancing from the show on Dancing, broadcast on September 29th, 2009, back on 209 Radio. I began the show with some announcements about things going on in the Cambridge area, but then shifted the subject with the fiction that the Kinks were right there ready to go on stage. What a clever segue. But wait, I can hear Ray Davis in the wings waiting to come on to introduce our theme for the evening with his song Come Dancing. But of course, Ray Davis can't write a simple song about dancing. It has to involve a drama of conflicting emotions, both personal and social. Behind this song is a whole story of the changing tastes in the late 50s, when the local pallies, the local dance halls, where the big bands used to play, lost out to that new wave of rock and roll taking over the taste of the young dancers. Ray dramatized this in the stage musical Come Dancing, which played in London last year, but in the song we'll hear, written in the early 80s, a time of so much change in England, we find Ray looking far back to his childhood, 25 years or so in the past, and using the demise of the pally as a symbol of all that has been lost. They put a parking lot on a piece of land where the supermarket used to stand. Before that, they put up a bowling alley on the site that used to be the local pally. That's where the big bands used to come and play. And then the shift from the large view to the more intimate family view. My sister went there on a Saturday. Come dancing. All her boyfriends used to come and call. Why not come dancing? It's only natural. We see the old 50s sexual politics too, as the girl keeps the boy under control. She would be ready, but she'd always make him wait in the hallway in anticipation. He didn't know the night would end up in frustration. He'd end up blowing all his wages for the week, all for a cuddle and a peck on the cheek. Oh, yes, that's the way they used to do it back in the days when they'd all come dancing on a Saturday night. But then, no one can evoke the elegiac like Ray Davis. The day they knocked down the pally, my sister stood and cried. The day they knocked down the pally, part of my childhood died, just died. And then the ironical shift back to the present, seedy, worn out, as we take on our parents' role, but there's always a glimmer of hope. Now I'm grown up and playing in a band, and there's a car park where the pally used to stand. My sister's married and she lives on an estate. In America, that would be a housing development. Her daughters go out, now it's her turn to wait. She knows they get away with things she never could. But if I asked her, I wonder if she would come dancing. Come on, sister, have yourself a ball. Don't be afraid to come dancing. It's only natural.
They put a parking lot on a piece of piece of land where the supermarket used to stand. Before that they put up a bowling alley on the site that used to be the local pally. That's where the big band used to come and play. My sister went there on a Saturday. Come dancing, all her boyfriends used to come and call. Why not come dancing? It's only natural. Another Saturday, another date. She would be ready, but she'd always make him wait. In the hallway, in anticipation. He didn't know the night would end up in frustration. He'd end up blowing all his wages for the week. Or for a cuddle and a peck on the cheek. Come dancing, that's how they did it when I was just a kid. And when they said come dancing, my sister always did. Should have come in at midnight, and my mom would always sit up and wait. It always ended up in a big row when my sister used to get home late. Out of my window I could see them in the moonlight, two silhouettes saying goodnight by the garden gate. The day they knocked down the palace, sister's married and she lives on an estate. Her daughters go out, now it's her turn to wait. She knows they get away with things she never could. But if I asked her, I wonder if she would. I'm dancing. Come on, sister, have yourself a ball. Don't be afraid to come dancing. It's only natural.
Oh, but what's that you say? You don't want to dance? You're feeling too lonely? Too cold inside? Let's stay with the Kinks for a minute. They have something to say to you about this. No words to introduce this. Let's just jump into this very poignant, touching, and very tender song.
To a sad and lonely heart. this were a party, I'd really make sure the next one would be mine. Yes, you with the broken heart. Don't forget to dance. No, no, no. Don't forget to smile. Don't forget to dance. No, no, no. Forget it for a while.
A nice bit of old just goes to show what you can achieve with the right attitude. And when they ask me how you dance, I'll say that you danced real close. That was a Kinks double header, Come Dancing and Don't Forget to Dance, both from the 1983 album State of Confusion. Back to the present now. Don't Forget to Dance. Am I right that this is a tender, poignant, and very touching song? Do you know any other song like this? He's so kind and compassionate towards this woman who's been so bruised that all she can do is retreat from life. But darling, darling, he reminds her, I bet you danced a good one in your time. Yes, you with the broken heart. Don't forget to dance. We all need this encouragement now and then, some more often than others. Let's not forget to dance, but more importantly, let's not forget to ask someone else to dance with us. And of course, I always invite you to dance with us here on Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105 Community Radio in your city, with me, Robert Louis Abrahamson. Now, what about a reading from Stevenson? Well, wait, stop press. Let me announce to you a one-off performance of Michael Daviet's one-man tribute to Stevenson, Hyde, that's H-Y-D-E, get it, Hyde and Seek, or Robert Louis Stevenson and Me, being put on especially for us in England after its four-star run at the Edinburgh Festival. Come to the St. Albans Maltings this Saturday, December 6th at 8 p.m. That's Michael Daviet, Hide and Seek, at St. Albans Maltings, 6th of December, 8 p.m. But now, here's what happened on the show from March 8th, 2009, also from 209 Radio, when our theme of creatures of the night led us onto the subject of the devil, and that led us to a short fable by Stevenson. Devil and the Innkeeper by Robert Louis Stevenson. Once upon a time, the devil stayed at an inn where no one knew him, for they were people whose education had been neglected. He was bent on mischief, and for a time he kept everybody by the ears. But at last the innkeeper set a watch upon the devil and took him in the fact. The innkeeper got a rope's end. "And now I am going to thrash you," said the innkeeper. "Oh, you have no right to be angry with me," said the devil. "I'm only the devil, and it is my nature to do wrong." "Is that so?" asked the innkeeper. "Fact, I assure you," said the devil. "You really cannot help doing ill?" asked the innkeeper. "Not in the smallest," said the devil. "It would be useless cruelty to thrash a thing like me." "It would indeed," said the innkeeper, and he made a noose and hanged the devil. "There," said the innkeeper. Okay, that's enough. You recognize that song, of course. The Rolling Stones' Sympathy for the Devil. A very seductive song with its hypnotic rhythm and the snaky voice of Mick Jagger. But let's break that hypnotic attraction. A word about the devil and the innkeeper, though. When we see the devil making mischief in our lives, that's a mythological way of saying when we discover various selfish and unloving inclinations in ourselves, then we must whip ourselves, that is, take ourselves in hand and try to reform those inclinations. But when we see that those inclinations have become habit and we find we cannot help ourselves, then it's no longer time to look for reform. We are to have no sympathy for the devil. We just kill as best we can those tendencies in us. It's called mortification. In the fable, the innkeeper just hangs the devil. The means of doing this for us are more complex, though, and the subject for discussion at some other occasion. Well, that was open-ended. Has that other occasion ever arisen when we speak about the ways we hang the devil within us? No, we've never really gone there, have we? Maybe soon we will. Who knows? Are you ready for the Dylan piece? On February 23rd, 2010, I did a show for 209 Radio on threesomes. A very good show, I must say. But alas, it was the final show on 209 Radio, which had to close down the next day. This episode featured lots of songs about love triangles or third parties breaking up relationships or whatever. There was Dr. Hook, When You're in Love with a Beautiful Woman, The Rolling Stones, Who's Been Sleeping Here, The Four Tops, Shake Me, Wake Me When It's Over, followed by Marvin Gaye, I Heard It Through the Grapevine, and Ray Davies' All She Wrote, with the painful put-down line spoken by the woman who's found someone new, I've met this person in a disco. He's really special. Reminds me of you. But what she means is that he reminds her of what he had been like. He laughs a lot, not like you, she adds. There were Paolo and Francesca from Dante's Inferno, and Leopold and Molly Bloom and Blazes Boylan from Joyce's Ulysses. Back to music again for Hot Chocolate's touching song Man to Man, and then a series of triangles Stevenson had with women in his life. And finally came the Dylan song, and that's what I want to replay for you here. The song is Your Lover Now. I indulged myself with a long introduction to the song, which I hope will help you attend to this rare and fascinating and painful song. Now, it's time to move on to our selection from Dylan, a song available only on bootleg albums, She's Your Lover Now. In fact, it was my desire to play this song tonight that suggested the whole theme of threesomes. Since listening to the song for this show, I've been waking up every morning with lines running through my head. She'll be standing on the bar soon with a fish head and a harpoon and a fake beard plastered on her brow. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. In this song, we have a triangle, all right, but a twisted one. Of course, it's a Dylan song. Here's the setup, as far as I can work it out. He and she were lovers, but she left him for another guy. But now she has come back to him with the other guy in the same room and is trying to be nice to him. Is she saying something like, oh, come on, we can still be friends? Yeah, sure. It provokes this bitter, hurtful response from him. It's a complex response addressed both to her and then, at the end of each stanza, to him. That you over there, who's just standing around, but who's supposed to be with her now, so why doesn't he step in and be with her? The song is from the Blonde on Blonde era, and the tune has certain affinities to Sooner or Later One of Us Must Know. And so we're not too surprised at the cryptic opening images, though we're a little shocked by the vehemence of the painful rage. The pawnbroker roared, also so did the landlord. The scene is so crazy, wasn't it? Both were so glad to watch me destroy what I had. Pain sure brings out the best in people, doesn't it? You'll have to wait a second until I play the song to feel the full force of that, doesn't it? Half sneering, half drawling sarcasm. But what's that doing there anyway? Who's he talking to that he has to ask for agreement? Pain sure brings out the best in people, doesn't it? The listener is stuck just nodding. Yeah, I guess it does. Wait a minute. No, it doesn't. Score one to Dylan for knocking the other side off its feet. And then there's a shift in rhythm and rhyme as he throws three perfectly reasonable questions at his former lover. Why didn't you just leave me if you didn't want to stay? Why'd you have to treat me so bad? Did it have to be that way? Again, what can she answer? And then the next shift,
a line so long it has to stumble over itself, starting with now and juggling four verbs to build up to our first climax. Now you stand here expecting me to remember something you forgot to say. And he prolongs that final word until it takes up about as much time as the whole rest of the sentence. But before we can recover from that, he shifts ground again and now turns to the other guy, just giving him a glance before dismissing his relevance to the scene. Yes, and you? I see you're still with her. Well, that's fine, 'cause she's coming on so strange, can't you tell? As though he's saying, hey man, aren't you aware that she's standing here in your presence trying to come on to me somehow? And another shift, as though he's looking around the room looking for somebody to take some responsibility here. Somebody had better explain she's got her iron chain. Then his perfectly reasonable, innocent voice, I'd do it, but I just can't remember how. Yes, he's forgotten how to explain to her. You see, she dumped me, and, well, I sort of forgot all those special ways you have to deal with a person like her. You know how it is. Perfectly reasonable. Are you off guard now? Good. Because here comes the stinging refrain as he swings back to the new lover and throws it in his face. You talk to her. She's your lover now. Now, look, that's the way to handle a painful triangle. None of that self-pity or self-effacement, just this witty, neurotic sparring. And this is only the first round. There are at least two more to come. My desire is to go through all the verses with you so we can share them together, but my impulse is to lighten up a bit and spare you this. Hey, you got ears, right? Well, just listen to the song, and I'll listen to it with you. See if you can attend to the deft footwork in the other stanzas. The same pattern of moves, floating like a butterfly, stinging like a bee. The version we'll hear from the Bootleg Series 2 gets off to a slow start as the musicians gradually come into sync.
Your pawnbroker roared, oh, so did the landlord. To see me so crazy wasn't it? Both were so glad to watch me destroy what I had. Pain sure brings out the best in people, doesn't it? Why didn't you just leave me if you didn't want to stay? Why'd you have to treat me so bad? Did it have to be that way? Remember something you forgot to say? Yes, and you, I see you're still with her. Well, that's fine, but she's coming on so strange, can't you tell? Somebody better explain. She's got her. But I just can't remember how. You talk to her, she's your lover now. Ah, I already assumed that we're in the felony room. But I ain't the judge, you don't have to be. Tell that to your friend in the cowboy hat. You know he keeps on saying everything twice to me. You know I was straight with you. You know I never tried to change you in any way. You know if you didn't want to be with me, that you didn't have to stay. Saying you forgive and forget. Honey, what can I say? place can't you reach? I see you kiss her on the cheek every time she gives a speech. Well, her picture books of the pyramid and her postcards of Billy the Kid. Talk to her about it. You're her lover now. Oh, everybody that cares is going up the castle stairs. Good up.
What happened there? Which instrument fell out of line, or was it Dylan himself? He seems to have that final line wrong. At least, it disagrees with the one other version we have, with piano solo from the album Thin Wild Mercury. This is a slower version, less angry, more tired, more bluesy and nasal, more lyrical, with even odder phrasing and even more prolonged line endings. You can actually hear this version on YouTube, if you haven't got the album. Here's how the final stanza proceeds in this version. Must I be in so sadness? Do I look like Charles Atlas? Do you think I still got what you still got, baby? My voice is really warm. It's just that it ain't got any form. It's just like a dead man's last pistol shot, baby. Did you catch that rhyme? You still got, baby, and pistol shot, baby. Ah, your mouth used to be so naked, your eyes used to be so blue, your hurts used to be so nameless, and your tears used to be so few. And then the shift to the now line, you remember. And here's the line where the song fell apart in the other version. It's a shame, because it's such an amazing line. In the other version, he said, your mouth cries wolf. But here it goes, now your eyes cry wolf, while your mouth cries, I'm not scared of animals like you. Let me say that again. We could spend a whole night on this line and listen to all the monosyllables. Now your eyes cry wolf, while your mouth cries, I'm not scared of animals like you. And the shift to the other guy with the expected put down, and you, there's really nothing about you I can recall. I just saw you there one time and you were just there, that's all. Then his step backwards, refusing to be pulled into this game with the woman again. But I've already been kissed. I'm not going to get into this. And I couldn't make it anyhow. And the refrain, you do it for me. You're her lover now.
Phew. Phew, indeed. This song stayed with me for weeks after the show, and I began to ask myself why the song moved me so. It was, I think, all that hurt anger the song expresses. Somehow that anger must have been inside me, too, way down in some locked dungeon in the shadows. And the song, like all good art, came along with the key and unlocked the door, leading the shadow emotion up to consciousness for me to become mindful of. And like Prospero at the end of The Tempest, to declare, this thing of darkness, I acknowledge mine. If Evening Under Lamplight can help provide keys for some of your imprisoned shadows, then who could ask for more? Painful, yes, but this is the kind of pain that sure brings out the best in people, doesn't it? And as we have done in so many other Evening Under Lamplight shows, let's end with a Leonard Cohen song. How about Land of Plenty, from the show about anxiety and abundance, broadcast on Cambridge 105 on August 28, 2011. I had followed a reading of a peaceful eventide poem by Stevenson with Herbert Howell's Nunc Dimittis, and then, a little breathlessly it seems, I had to prepare for this rough, confused, loving Leonard Cohen song, saluting the plentifulness that will always be there for us. But I'm afraid I'll have to shift us from this peacefulness to something a little edgier. Yes, the song is called The Land of Plenty, but it's not quite clear what that plenty consists of, or what Leonard Cohen's attitude towards it is. May the lights from the land of plenty, he says, shine on the truth some day. Implying, of course, that it is not shining on the truth yet. We seem to start in the midst of our weakness. Don't really have the courage to stand where I must stand. Don't really have the temperament to lend a helping hand. Don't really know who sent me to raise my voice and say, may the lights in the land of plenty shine on the truth someday. So we just stand in the mystery of our own shortcomings, but not in anxiety. You can hear in the music that there is peace, not anxiety, as we would expect from Leonard Cohen, who is quite easy with imperfection. I don't know why I've come here, knowing as I do what you really think of me, what I really think of you. For the millions in a prison that wealth has set apart, for the Christ who has not risen from the caverns of the heart, for the innermost decision that we cannot but obey, for what's left of our religion, I lift my voice and pray. May the lights in the land of plenty shine on the truth someday. The song is written by Leonard Cohen and Sharon Robinson, who wrote and performed the music, and the song was recorded in a very basic home studio to retain the air of simplicity, very congenial to Leonard Cohen after he had returned to the world after the harvest of his long retreat in the Buddhist monastery. You'll find the song on the album 10 New Songs from 2001, one of Leonard's best albums, I think. This has been Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105, Community Radio in Cambridge, with Robert Louis Abrahamson. And this is Leonard Cohen, Land of Plenty.
My voice and say, may the lights truth in the land of plenty. Shine on the truth someday.